When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey guys, welcome back to According To. I'm Megan.
And I'm Sierra. For this week's episode, we are back with an unpopular opinions Reddit episode. So if you're unfamiliar,
love Danny's Reddit episodes.
Basically how this works is there's a huge unpopular opinions subreddit on Reddit. And
Reddit's just an online forum. Anyone and everyone,
the homepage of the internet, I think is the tagline. So basically we go through the unpopular opinions subreddit. Megan finds some she thinks are interesting. I find some I think are interesting. We go through, we chat about them. We say if we agree or disagree, whether or not they're truly unpopular or not.
So we will jump to that for the second portion of the episode during our first half. It probably won't be a full half, but we do like chatting and just catching up, sharing our weekly spotlights, and doing a little book update before we jump into the meat of the episode.
So, what is your weekly spotlight?
My weekly spotlight is that I feel like we're getting things going for the basement makeover, and I am just excited because I was hoping it wouldn't get stagnant after we like painted and stuff last weekend. But I feel like we're continuing to make pretty good progress. We got our mini fridge delivered and installed over the weekend. So like the little kitchenette back there is gonna be our little movie theater snack station.
I'm excited to stock it up.
I know, right?
Like that's, I'm gonna like, be gonna one be, of like, those, way down the line. You know, like those TikTok accounts where people like stock stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm gonna feel like that kind of person.
So we've got an accent wall that we want to work on that we got some good news on, and then we
need to get the trim put in.
Yeah.
Probably like the next. And
we were thinking about like our dad was kind of like we could start painting the trim at least like sometime this week or weekend just so that that can get going. I'm like, we could like, we're at a point where it's like we, other than like the projector, maybe like the one other thing that would like hold us back in terms of like really getting going. But it's like we could freaking order a couch like in theory, you know, and then like the rest of the decor too. But like the couch
would be the
was
big
like
one.
The big ticket item.
Yeah.
So projectors are expensive.
Yeah, projectors might be the big ticket item.
The couch is more still. Oops. I am sorry if that messed up with the audio.
Okay. So my weekly spotlight is that we had a nice little like, I mean, I say Super Bowl party lightly. It was literally me, Megan, and then a friend Abby. But Abby had asked us like the week before if we had any Super Bowl plans, and we had not, and so I was like, no. And she asked if we could watch it together. And so we got some food. She brought over some corn dip that was actually really good. And she brought Fritos with it. I love Fritos. I feel Fritos like Fritos are,
they're
are
so underrated.
They're such an underrated chip.
Like no one really goes and just like buys Fritos. But then like anytime
if
you
there's like
them,
a bag of like, you know, people get those small multi-bags. I feel like if there is a bag of Fritos, like I'll reach for it. I'll be like, I'll take the Fritos. So everyone's always like reaching for the Lay's or the Doritos. And I'm like, I am not above Fritos. I love Fritos.
Mm-hmm. They're good.
So her corn dip was really good. We made some buffalo chicken, which evidently is too spicy for a lot of people. Which, I mean, so Abby had asked. She's like, is it spicy? And I'm just like, it's no spicier than any other buffalo sauce. So if you are familiar with buffalo sauce. And Megan and I, we just, last year, it's almost been our 1 year. It has been our 1 year anniversary of eating buffalo wings. Because in Hawaii last year.
That Marriott.
The Marriott had like a bunch of different appetizers and stuff, and so
one thing
about
me is like when I go on vacation, like I am not above eating at the hotel restaurant more often than not.
Mm-hmm. And so we first got there, it was pretty late when we got there, right?
I
don't even remember, honestly. Anyway, we got a bunch of food at the restaurant, and I'd always been like, oh, like I'm afraid of wings, like I don't like spicy stuff. So I just had never tried like any buffalo wings. And so we got a bunch of food. And I think that our mom and grandma must have, you know, they like buffalo wings enough that they ordered some. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll try it. And I do think initially I was like this is kind of spicy, like kind of hot.
But once you get past that.
But then I was like, it's kind of good though. And so then I was like, I don't think it's that spicy anymore. But like, I think when I was first eating it, I was like, ooh, it's like spicy, but it's good. So I want more.
And it does kind of build on itself a little bit. Anyway. Like, there was a moment yesterday where like even I was kind of like, after a few, like it's hot, but it's not like. Like, I don't handle spicy stuff very well.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Is like, that's probably the spiciest thing that we eat. And, like, I also think about, like, taco pizza and stuff. Haley, she's, like, notorious for not liking spicy stuff. And we'll have, like, taco pizza. And she's like, ooh, the taco pizza is spicy. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's taco pizza. Anyway, so we made buffalo. I say buffalo wings in quotes. It's just chicken with buffalo sauce, basically. And then we had some cookies. Abby brought some brownies. And it was good. Great food. Oh, and then we got some tater tots, too.
Yeah. I feel like the Super Bowl in general, I mean, I always watch the Super Bowl every year. I feel like it was kind of a very, like, boring to watch game.
The end was more interesting, like, when they started, like, going back and forth and, like, tie it up, and then they'd get ahead.
I didn't really care who won, but I was kind of rooting for... Here's my thought process. I was like, I don't really care because it's either... Like, the state of Iowa versus Taylor Swift's boyfriend. That was my thought process. The state of Iowa being Brock Purdy is an Iowa State alum, and then George Kittle is a University of Iowa alum. And so I was kind of like, okay, the entire state can kind of, like, root for these two. However, a good portion of the state is, like, they're going to get a lot of Chiefs fans just because of proximity. And I don't dislike the Chiefs. Like, they're fine. But I am one that loves Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift together, so I was kind of like, if he wins, then she'll be happy,
and like, we're gonna go on the field and we'll get to see some content, which so, I need to see more content of them. I feel like I've only seen like a little bit.
Yeah,
I haven't been on TikTok enough to really like say what all the content is. Yeah. Like, have I seen it all or have I not? I don't know. Like, I saw like the video of him being like, come here girl, and like them like each blowing a kiss to each other, like he's on the stage like blowing a kiss. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That's what I've seen so far, so I don't know if there's more.
So I'm waiting
for kind of the end when like Instagram.
When Taylor the 49ers lost or Chiefs won, however you want to word it. I did find like I was a little bit upset. So I do think obviously I was kind of rooting for the 49ers a little bit more, but I have no stake in the game. So I don't really care.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about commercials and then halftime show. This has been a trend, but I feel like the commercials just like have not been a thing. This is one of the
unpopular opinions.
This year.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then we can jump back into that when we get to the unpopular opinions. There was a couple that I did
like, though. My general thought was kind of like, I was trying to go into it, like, watching it. I was like, let me keep track of, like, my favorite commercials. And then I was like, there was just, like, almost none to really, like,
you know what I wonder?
Really stuck in my brain.
With, like, the internet being a thing, people just, like, release their ads not only early, but, like, I feel like people release ads and then, like, they don't play during the Super Bowl. Because like, they don't have to pay for a slot, you know? Right.
That was not even a Super Bowl commercial, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, like, this is the Super Bowl ad, and then, like, it didn't play. And it's like, oh, that's probably smart on your part, because then you don't have to pay for a Super Bowl slot.
And you're but everyone's like, oh, like, this is their
Super Bowl ad.
Yeah.
Even though it's not. Anyway, honorable mentions for ads that I liked. The Google Pixel ad with, like,
I know the Super Bowl is kind of known for funny commercials, but I always feel like the emotional ones hit harder.
Mm-hmm. I predicted the ending. I mean, I know I could have seen that like a mile away, what the ending was. But it was basically showing off their new features for people who have like poor vision or like are blind. And it will show like for if they're taking a picture, it'll say like what's in the frame. And so it's like, oh, like two faces in frame. I think it started with like one face in frame. And then like it's this guy like entering into a relationship and like taking pictures with his girlfriend and then his wife. And it's two faces in the frame. And then it ends. I was like, it's going to end with three faces in the frame because they're going to have a baby. And that's how it ended. So I like that one. I thought it was cute.
I saw a lot of people also really liked the Dunkin' commercial because it had like so many celebrities. Like it had Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, J-Lo, Tom Brady, Jack Harlow. Like had a lot of people.
I feel like the more... like celebrities you can get, it's almost like wow, like okay,
yeah,
makes it more exciting. I liked what was the commercial?
Messy.
I did like that one too. That's not the one that I was thinking of.
Beer one, Michelob Ultra.
Maybe? I think that was Michelob Ultra. Shoot, now I'm not gonna remember what it was. I'll try and think of it when we're either now or like when we get to the Super Bowl one again. And then as far as halftime show, I know Usher's music in a very general sense is what I've learned. I'm like, I know, yeah. He didn't even do DJ Got Us Falling in Love Again. That's like one of the ones that I actually do know. But his older music, like the early 2000s, I realize I don't know.
I didn't have really any expectations going into the halftime show. Because I know Usher's songs, but like not a lot. I'm not like a huge fan. And I also was kind of like Rihanna's show last year, like beat my expectations. Like I liked it more than I thought I was going to, because I would kind of say like without having seen either of their performances, like I don't really listen to any of their music regularly, so like they're kind of like in that sense like on an even playing field in my mind. But then after her performance last year, like I went back and like rewatched that performance a couple times because I was like, this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then
we showed Dad the performance. Do you remember we had him over and we're like, watch this?
Yeah. And
I need to rewatch that part. I just remembered the part where like the camera's going down the like,
oh, that's the best part.
I know. I just remembered it though. I haven't seen it in a while. I should watch it.
I felt like I was really overwhelmed at the beginning of Usher's performance. I was like, he had the entire field was just filled with like varying circus people and dancers, and he was just on the field himself. And I was like, yeah. Is there a stage? Because for the first few minutes, like, wasn't even on stage. I was like, I guess you can save money by not having a stage. It was just too much.
Did you see a TikTok that someone posted? And they're like, now I get why I saw Usher at my local skating rink in November. And he was just, like, literally at a skating, like,
really?
A roller rink skating.
Interesting.
But then I saw some people saying, like, he, like, legitimately just, like, enjoys
I feel like you'd roller have skating. To for you to decide, like, I'm including this in my...
So...
performance.
Whether or not he was doing that just for fun or for practice. I
thought, like, it was good. It was, like, later in the performance, I thought it got better and better as it went mm-hmm. on. And he had, like, quite a few cameos and other people that he brought on, which people tend to like. Everyone was thinking Justin Bieber was going to come on. I didn't really think that was going to happen, and it didn't. But it was good, but it just kind of, like, was right where my
expectations were. And the ending was like, oh, you're done now. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I will probably never look it up to watch it again, but it was fine for what it was.
I agree.
There's, like, a lot of active, like, halftime show haters that, like, I feel like no matter what happens, who's performing, people are like, I hated the halftime show. It sucked. Yeah. And it would take a lot for me. Jack Harlow's one performance at whatever football game that was at, I was like, Jack, this is actually, like, not good.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't tend to be, like, a halftime show hater.
Like, it just maybe isn't your cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. I would never post anything about it, you know? Any
book
other...
Speaking of updates, we are hosting our first book club tonight. We may be posting a full-length podcast episode recapping that. So stay tuned. But we are very excited.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Vegas has been dropped off at my mom's house.
And we have started setting up. We'll finish setting up once we're done podcasting. But let's talk about our books that we've finished up or are reading now. You can start.
I'm currently reading Winter in Paradise by Ellen Hildebrand. This was a trip getting into because... So we're starting this book. Megan's going to read it too, hopefully before we go on vacation. The bulk of it takes place in the U.S. Virgin Islands. We're going on vacation there in March. And Maggie has already read it. She wanted us to read the first book so that then collectively we can all read the second book at the same time on vacation, just for the vibes.
Just for fun.
So I was like, okay, sounds good. I start reading it, and like the main character lives in Iowa City. And so I was like, oh, weird, because we went to school in Iowa City.
It's always interesting. I am just saying this as like, I don't actually know if this is true or not, but like I feel like 9 times out of 10, if you're ever reading a book and it's like taking place or like mentioning Iowa City a lot.
See if the author went to the Iowa Writers' Workshop.
Yeah. Because it's like a very well-established, well-renowned writing program. And like Iowa City is just not a very, like, why are you picking Iowa City out of all cities ever? And so I looked it up when Sierra had mentioned that. And Ellen Hildebrand had gone to the University of Iowa Writers Program. So
anyway, and it was like just really weird. Maybe it's just because I am familiar with Iowa City that like when other authors do this for places that I haven't been,
like you don't
pay the name dropping is like nothing to me. But she was, like, mentioning like, this street, in this restaurant, in this place, in Coralville, and whatever. And I was like, girly, I believe you. I believe you've been there. I get it. She literally mentioned the street that we lived on. And mm-hmm. I was like, this is just a little weird right now. So it's just like the book is weirdly connecting to me right now, which is strange.
Are you enjoying it so far?
It's fine.
Has the romance started yet?
Megan, there is like no romance.
Sorry, I don't know why I keep thinking all her books are like romance.
It's like a mystery thriller.
Okay. Thriller?
So, mystery, at least.
In my mind, all her like books are romances.
The husband is dead, basically.
Are none of her books romance?
I don't know. This is my first book I'm reading.
Okay. In my mind, that's what all the covers give off.
Megan, 19 minutes. The romance. I'm really excited to read it. Megan just assumes everything's a romance until told otherwise.
Yeah, basically. Okay, never mind. I just finished reading Six of Crows, and I gave it 4 out of 5 stars. I do plan on eventually continuing on to the second book, which is called Crooked Kingdom. And I kind of honestly feel like I have higher hopes for that one.
You know what it sounded like you said? It sounded like you said Cricket Kingdom.
The Cricket Kingdom. And I feel like towards the end, I was kind of starting to get more of what I wanted the whole time, which was like a little bit more of like the romance. Sue me, okay? Sorry. I picked this book because as I've been getting into fantasy, like I've specifically been looking up romantic-y stuff because that's what I want. And this was like not focused on it, but like it certainly
not enough.
Not enough. Like really like almost nothing. Okay. You just know that there's two, like it's basically like, oh, I see that there's like something here, but like nothing romantically really takes place at all. Except for every once in a while he doesn't want her to die. Okay. It was good. In a rough, like, not very well explained summary, it's basically them, like, this group of, like, people who are in a gang in one part of the town. They are hired by someone higher up to go save a scientist, basically, from the royal palace because he created something that enhances the magical powers of, I forget what they're called, Corporalki or something. There's like different titles and different sectors of,
you know,
magical powers.
That reminds me of, like, not even just like your description, but for whatever reason I always just like imagine, like, you know, the Umbrella Academy on Netflix, right? And I've only ever seen like maybe one episode of that, but like to me they just like seem similar. So I think the Umbrella Academy is like a family with like the kids were like, they're like adults, but like they're kids that were like created by like this monkey professor, maybe. Or is there a monkey professor there? I don't really know. I should look that up. But like they like have different powers.
To me.
Well, I haven't seen or read either, so it's just in my little brain.
So it's a very dangerous mission. The odds of them dying and not completing it are very high, but they all are very motivated by money or like have reason to work with the main male character who's in charge, who's like leading the mission. And
why is it called Six of Crows?
I know that like they have like a crow club, which isn't really,
I always feel like every like prevalent of a book. Fantasy book, you like finish it,
there's not a main reason.
And if someone's like, oh, like why is it called that, I'd be like, you know, that's a good question, I don't know. I have a book journal that I have on my Notion that I've been doing for like every book that I finish. And, like, I copied it from, I think, Just Allie on YouTube, if you watch any of her book videos. And so, like, the prompts were stuff that she had pre-written in there. And one of the prompts is, like, after reading the book, like, do you understand the title more? Like, would you have picked a different title, whatever? And, like, literally all of the Akatar ones, I'm like, I don't really know why it's called this.
It's just the vibe.
So, I'm always like, I read it. I don't know.
I don't care.
And I don't have a different title, because I'm not going to think of one.
So I am now reading, I was going to start saying The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, and that was not right. The Ballad of the Raptor. And I don't know if I'm, like, getting to a, like, 5-star approach, like, it's too early to tell, but, like, I'm certainly, like, with the banter between the characters, like, not really banter, because it's, like, just, like, one-off, like, they're not in love yet, but, there's stuff that the male main character, he'll say stuff, and then I'm, like, smirking to myself, like, because it's funny. So I'm liking it, which I anticipated, so.
I feel like this past weekend, which we vlogged, by the way, so if you want to see the actual weekend that I'm referring to, check out our YouTube channel, but I think we had such a good, productive weekend. Vegas, did we mention, I guess we wouldn't have because he didn't have diarrhea when we last recorded. Oh my god. he's like cured now, thank God. But last Wednesday through
rough 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. Vegas had diarrhea. You know, I don't know why. I don't know. He didn't eat anything different. His food didn't change. To my knowledge, he wasn't getting into anything outside. So I don't know if it was just like a bug that he caught or what. He's fine now. But Megan had come home during lunch. He had diarrhea all over his crate. So then Megan like cleaned him up best she could before she had to go back to work. And then when I got home, he had diarrhea again.
Round two.
And this just like was on repeat for like the first 2 days were the worst probably. And then like had to get a bath every time he got cleaned out. We had to get his crate like taken apart and put together. And like I had to take off his whole crate cover to wash it because he got like poop on the crate cover. And it had like spilled out onto like out of his crate onto the floor. We could put it back on. And then there's like one day he was fine. I was like, okay, maybe he's like building up his tolerance. Like his poop's getting a little bit more solid. Sorry if this is gross to anyone listening, but it's whatever. And so then, and also, oh my God, the first two nights were like the worst nights of sleep that we have had with him.
Which like obviously not his fault, but like every hour or two he was waking up because he needed to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, and like sometimes it was funny because we'd like go and like let him out and he'd be like a bullet going outside.
Like he needed to go.
So like now. You know, good for him for like letting us really know.
Potty trained though.
Yeah. And so there's one night though where Megan had said like, oh, I think his poop's getting a little bit more solid, and I was like, okay. And he had been holding it for like, you know,
like during the day, 4 or 5 hours.
I don't know
what happened at night where like he just couldn't. But like during the day, even when he was like not feeling,
yeah, like after day two, like
4 or 5, yeah, 6 hours.
He was fine. Like, you know, at lunch and stuff, he could hold it. And then I was like, okay, I think he can make it to 6. And so I heard him like whining and barking and stuff. And I was like, nah, he just like wants to like, he just wants attention. He did not just want attention. And he had in fact pooped in his crate. And so that's like when I woke up, or no. Yes, that was when I was on Saturday. And so I was like, you guys do not know the morning I've had because I already had like half a lifetime that I lived. I had to, you know, give him a bath like 5:45 in the morning and like get his crate cleaned out and like, you know, whatever. Anyway, all that to say, I had planned on doing a deep clean this past weekend, but like that just solidified like we need to deep clean because he's had diarrhea. Yeah. It was, you know, contained to his corner, but things just felt gross. So, our deep clean was very nice. And now we have, like, book club coming up. And so, you know, it's perfect. Perfect timing, really.
Perfect timing.
I ran a mile on Sunday, keeping on track with my attempting to run at least 1 mile a month. I ran at a 9:30 pace. It was hard the last 2 minutes. I was getting, like, is it called a stitch when you get, like, a side ache? I was getting one of those in my side. Didn't know if I'd be able to finish it off, but I pushed through. And I don't think I'm going to be changing my pace next time. I'll probably stay at 9:30.
Okay. Seems we should jump into the unpopular opinions.
Let's do it.
Okay. You want to start?
I can start. First unpopular opinion. It's concerning how shoving a camera in someone's face while they're crying or having an emotional moment is becoming more acceptable. Like, I can't even imagine the anger and discomfort that I might feel if someone pointed their camera at me while I'm having a bad day. Just now, I saw a video of a girl filming her elderly dad having an anxiety attack, and no one in the comments seemed mad about it. People are getting way too comfortable with posting personal moments on the internet. This is something, obviously, it's very prevalent on TikTok, where it's like, you don't always think about, like, the person holding the camera because you're just watching what's happening. Yeah. But then, like, you take a step back and you're like, that is, like, so strange and I would never do that, like pull out a camera, even like not just like the emotional or like, you know, embarrassing, sad, chaotic moments, but like in general, just like pulling out a phone to record something. That's like half the time why I feel like it's scripted, mm-hmm. especially couples content. That's a whole other thing.
This kind of reminds me of like, there's different TikTok accounts that like will post, like if, especially like I've noticed for like older adults with like dementia, whether it's like a spouse or like their kids that are now like their caretakers, they'll post like different situations or just kind of their day-to-day life. And I'm kind of torn because like I do think there can be a way to do it tastefully and educationally, but also like at the end of the day, like this person can't really consent to like being recorded and having you post them online. So like that alone is kind of like,
then on the flip side, couldn't you argue, like, yeah, they can't consent, but in some ways, if their children are their caretakers, POA for lack of a better term, like, they're in charge of, like, signing whatever release form would be there anyways.
Yeah.
I do think, again, in that sense, it can be educational. It can be helpful if it's not showing things in, like, a bad light to, like, educate people on, like, what dementia looks like.
Yeah.
I think, like, specifically for this, when it's, like, I think of, like, kids having, like, a meltdown in the car with, like, you know, something that didn't go their way. Or, like,
family vloggers on YouTube.
And it's, like,
there's different states that are now, like, trying to create laws to, like,
protect safeguard
kids.
I mean, they probably should. There's just, like, a lot of moments as a kid where it's, like, it's hard enough to, like, maybe talk to stuff, like, with your parents anyways. Like, if you're embarrassed or angry, upset, and you're just trying to, like, A, process your emotions, because as a child, sometimes that alone is, like, impossible. And then, like, having your parent record that and upload it and, like, have strangers who don't even know you, like, comment on, like, how your parents are parenting or, like, how you're reacting. And you're just like, I'm just a child. So I do think it's happening. It's probably, you know, definitely way more normalized, like this person is saying, than we think about. Like, we should challenge ourselves to, like, next time we, like, we see a video like that where it's like, half the time, again, I don't even think about it because I'm just, like, watching and consuming content. And half the time I don't think about, like, oh, it's weird that they're recording this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, weird enough that you wouldn't do it.
Someone else to bring it up for you to be like,
mm-hmm. Like, if you're looking at the comments and you're like, that is weird, but I didn't think about it being weird.
Unpopular or not?
I feel like I wouldn't necessarily say unpopular. I think people would agree with this. I do think people might come from, like, our perspective of, like, I don't even think about it that much. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. How about next one? Almost all actors nowadays are completely interchangeable. This has been something I've been thinking about every now and then, and I will try to explain the best way I can, so try to bear with me. To start, here are some common phrases that don't really make any sense to me. X actor's performance was phenomenal in that movie and deserves an Oscar. I hope that they cast X actor for this upcoming movie. I love movies with X actor and will watch it just because he or she is in it. Now, the reason that the above doesn't make any sense is threefold. The goal of an actor is to get you completely immersed in the story. Almost every actor in Hollywood now is extremely skilled in accomplishing this. Any added performance / acting skills once the threshold to get the viewer immersed in the story has been crossed is irrelevant. I feel like right off the bat here, I'm not agreeing with this opinion for a couple reasons.
I feel like I get what they're saying, though.
I get what they're saying, but I think that they're also not recognizing there's different movies that, like, sometimes, like, there's movies made for an actor or, like, with an actor in mind because it's the role that they're, like, so used to and familiar with playing. Like, Adam Sandler freaking writes and, I don't know that he directs all his movies. I don't know his production company situation, but, like, all his movies and his characters, I feel like, are basically the same in all of them.
I think it's like part that's of it,
what you know and expect from an Adam Sandler movie.
This is going off of what you're saying, because I do agree, is that a lot of actors take on roles, like, in similar style movies or types of movies. And so maybe you say, oh, like, I, you know, love Adam Sandler as an actor, and, like, I'm going to go see all of his movies. Maybe you just love comedies, specifically with, like, Adam Sandler's style of comedy. Therefore, you're going to go see all of his movies because, like, that's what you're seeking out. If you're a big, I don't know who else, Tom Hanks fan, Tom Hanks has, like, some pretty good range, but, like, he'll do, like, a lot of, like, serious, emotional, like, thought-provoking movies typically. And so if, like, that's what you're into, you're like, if it's good enough for Tom Hanks, it's good enough for me.
I feel like that's what people... I feel like also, like, you kind of, like, have, like, you trust the accolades of the actor and, like, what roles they would take on. And so if you have a good history of movies you've liked with that actor or actress, then you're probably going to be like, this is also
probably a good movie.
Probably going to be good.
Versus, like, if, you know, random Joe Schmo that you've never heard of is in that movie, it could be just as good.
He just needed a job, maybe.
But, well, I'm saying, like, it could be just good, as good of a movie, but you might not be as inclined to see it if it's not, you know, Tom Hanks in it, because you don't know Joe Schmo. You know Tom Hanks, and you trust Tom Hanks, but you don't trust
this is
Joe Schmo.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble,
With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Yeah. So really, the actors just are providing good ethos for you.
I get what this person is saying, but I feel like this is how I think too, like what they're saying. I'm like, oh, I really like this actor, actress. I'm going to plan on trying to see that movie.
Yeah. I think we did unpack that well. I think it is like the credibility of the actor.
Yeah.
That you just like buy
not that
into.
Not that I don't like, you know, new up and coming actors and actresses.
Sometimes you want someone you've never heard of before.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, in an Avatar series, if that were to ever happen,
I want no one. Yeah.
I want to know no one. Because then I feel like
this isn't X actor trying to play this character who I have like so deep in my mind envisioned. Mm-hmm. And like, that's not, I feel like I wouldn't be able to step into the world versus if it was like someone that I didn't know. And then like, they're just now being introduced to me as
that character. That then character. You're like, okay, I believe it.
Yeah.
Okay. Any interesting comments on that one?
If you give me a second, maybe. I think it's less of a case of actors being interchangeable and more a case for modern movies off on the same general plot and story structure. You can swap out any character or actress for a role because the role is extremely basic and can accommodate pretty much anyone. I don't know. Nothing else really
stands out. I liked our conversation. Next one. The Super Bowl is more enjoyable when your team doesn't make it. Watching Super Bowl or any major tournament is far more enjoyable and less stressful when your team doesn't make it there. When you don't have any real vested interest, you can enjoy the game instead of stressing yourself out. I think this one is partially correct, partially incorrect. When it's low stakes and you have no skin in the game, hence us, like this past Super Bowl, it's fine.
I feel like it's also kind of like you just mourn at different times. Like everyone else, whether they were done after the regular season or they like lost a playoff game, like they mourned at that time and it was fun up until that mm-hmm. point, until they lost and then they were out, versus the people who hadn't won the Super Bowl, like they hadn't mourned a loss yet.
Or like it's that Riverdale quote where it's like the epic highs and lows of high school football. Like if you don't have any skin in the game, it's fine.
Highs are high,
but like if your team is in it, then like it's the same with like any sports, you know. Mm-hmm. I watch Iowa football in like a regular season game where like it's just us and some random team. I'm like, my heart's invested in it. Like I experienced the highs and lows of college football. And like there's also like no better feeling than that too. Mm-hmm. So personally, I like having vested interest. I think it makes it more fun having stake in the game.
I think so too. Like
there have been times where I've been like physically like, A, like, I'm going to pass out from, like, screaming so much. I'm talking about specifically about, like, Iowa football being, like, at the stadium. I'm going to pass out because I'm screaming too much and I'm lightheaded. I'm, like, feeling sick to my stomach because, like, my heart is about to get, like, torn to pieces.
Especially, like, Iowa and Nebraska games. I don't know why. I literally, there's been multiple times where, like, there's almost tears that I'm, like, about to cry because I want to win so bad.
And, like, who am I but a girl just watching a football game? Why am I so emotionally invested?
But I think that's part of, like, I think it's just good and fun and nice to have things you're something. Emotionally connected to and you care about. Like I know people say like sports are stupid, who really cares, like it's not that deep, but like isn't life just meant to feel? Aren't you just meant to feel things?
Someone said less stressful, sure, more enjoyable. I mean, it all depends if your team wins or not. All-time fun versus terrible feeling.
Here's another Super Bowl related one, back to the commercials. In the 90s, we had amazing and creative and memorable commercials during the NFL Super Bowl. These days, they're just normal commercials that have been put on at their purchased airtime slot. I noticed this year specifically because Sierra, myself, and Abby, we were all kind of like, we'll kind of like talk about the commercials as they come on and share what we think. And just more often than not, I was kind of like,
that was a Super Bowl commercial?
That was your Super Bowl commercial? Like, it wasn't just like a normal commercial. That was your Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, I remember the Elf commercial. That one was good. Judge Beauty.
Oh.
Like, it had, like, a lot of, like, smart cameos.
Yeah.
So it was, like, Judge Judy as a judge, and it had, like, the guy from Suits as the lawyer. It had the guy from Jury Duty. It was, like, on the jury. Like, that was, like, clever. I liked how they did that.
That was a good one. one I thought, like, specifically, I think it was, like, it was whatever one, Quinta, that's her name, right?
Quinta Brunson.
It was, like, Verizon, or, I don't know, there was, like, lots of red in the commercial. I don't remember what the commercial was for.
So, clearly it was good.
I just remember thinking, like, this is it? Like, it was basically just her talking to the camera. And granted, it was, like, I swear it was, like, for, like, $100,000 cash prize, like, do this. But it was, like, you're hardly even, like, selling. I don't even know what cash prize, like, what are we entering here? I also feel like a Super Bowl commercial really needs to, like, you need to quickly know what is being sold to you. Otherwise, I feel like as an ad, you're, like, losing the audience because I'm trying to figure out what is going on. What really confuses me, because, like, there's quite a bit of, like, movie promo done during Super Bowls now. So I found myself a couple of times being, like, is this a movie trailer? Or is this a commercial trying to, like,
what do you think of the State Farm ad?
I kind of, like, I feel like it makes sense as a Super Bowl commercial because of, like, the cameos that they had and all of that. But, like, I don't know. It wasn't the funniest thing ever to me.
Yeah, but it just, I agree. I mean, was, I was like, what it was. Obviously, it's, like, his accent. And I'm like, well, he's an accent.
I know.
So he's not going to say neighbor.
Yeah.
So what's the joke? I kind of thought that was too. I was like, this isn't our first rodeo. We've heard accents before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was there any other ads that I had thought about? Yeah, I agree. I think that Super Bowl ads, I just honestly don't know if they're even, like, as profitable these days. Yeah. And that's probably, like, part of the reason that people, like, don't invest in making an actual Super Bowl commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, Disney Plus, I'm still, like, kind of confused because it was, like, the Taylor Swift, like, you know, it's related to her Eras Tour movie. It was, like, fine.
To be honest, I was kind of, like, I don't know how long that deal had been in the works, but, like, usually don't you have to have, like, a Super Bowl commercial, like, figured out, like, X amount of time ahead of, like, of the slot? I don't know. Like, I swear I just heard news about, like, them confirming.
And then I was wondering, this is, like, a side tangent. I've heard theories that she's going to, like, have released both debut and rep her versions before March 15th. Because it's, like, or maybe not, I don't know. Because her movie right now is not marketed as Taylor's version, right?
No. But it's...
So, like, why is it being marketed as Taylor's version now? They've already said why. Why?
Because she's adding in, like, acoustic things of, like, four other songs and something else.
Oh.
It says what's different.
I saw theories of people saying, like, she's going to own all of the songs in that movie. And that's why it's going to be Taylor's version. So then there were theories that she was going to release
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't think so either. But...
Yeah. Apparently she's, like, going to make her directorial debut for a full-length movie, like, next year.
Like an actual, like, legit movie?
I don't fully know the premise, but I don't think there's a lot out about it. But someone who's a bigger Swiftie than I am was, like, sharing his theory about why he thinks it would make the most sense for her to wait and hold off and release both of those albums, Taylor's version, next year while she's busy doing a movie and directing a movie so that there's still, like, new content being pushed out. And just, like, it makes the most sense, like, marketing-wise.
So, interesting.
Okay. It's been a long time, but...
It's been a long time coming. Okay, is it my turn?
Yeah.
Gatekeeping isn't bad as people make it out to be. Not much to say here. While I understand that elitism is a pain, that doesn't mean everyone should be involved in a hobby, especially if said hobby is niche. A good example of what happens when you don't gatekeep is Metal Gear Rising. I don't know what this is.
I feel like this isn't even talking about gatekeeping, at least not in the way that I usually think about gatekeeping.
Let me finish what they're saying. While I wouldn't call it niche to begin with, the popularity of the game overshadowed the Metal Gear series as a whole and led to one of the most oversaturated content of all time and pretty much ran the game to the ground. So I'm not familiar with this game. But, like, they're saying, you know, sometimes...
It's a secret.
Yeah. So it doesn't get oversaturated. Or, like, people on TikTok say, like, you know, don't sell this out.
If I love something, like, I want everyone to know about it. And I don't want to be about the repercussions.
Because I want to be the person that's like, oh, Sierra, like, told me about this. I want to be, like, the inside scoop person.
I also feel like I just hate, especially for, like, products and stuff, for example, because I feel like that's what I was primarily thinking of. Like, I am someone who, like, if it makes sense and, like, is an easy thing for me to do, anytime that I can, like, tag an item of clothing on Instagram, like if it's feasible and I think someone might ask about it, like I'll try to tag where things are from. If someone comments asking something where it's from, I try to respond back. Like, it's just, I so despise, like, if I'm seeing that or if someone's seeing a comment asking where's this from or what info do you have on that, like they just want your help. They just want
begging for your help.
They just want the cute shirt or jeans or whatever it is.
And you should be honored that they liked your style.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I get a high when I think about me shouting out those Brooklyn pants to our entire PT class, right? For PT school. And then everyone's like, oh, like, I got them and I love them. Like, I got them and I love them. And I'm like, you're welcome.
No gatekeeping here.
No gatekeeping. Like, imagine you're welcome, girlies.
No one does this in real life, I feel like. But, like, imagine if someone, like, came up and was like, where are your pants from? And you're just like, not sure.
Couldn't tell ya.
No idea. I'd be like, well, can you
turn around?
I'll look at the tag for you.
Okay. What is your next one?
Okay. This person said, paper straws work fine. A few years ago, most fast food places switched to some kind of paper straws. I've seen endless memeing and complaining about them online, but I've never had them get soggy or anything like that. Granted, I've always finished my drink within 30 minutes or so.
I feel like I finish my drinks within 30 minutes. And here's like, what, maybe paper straws have like
a slobbery mouth or something.
Always disintegrate on me.
They fall apart. Not like literally fall apart, but like where my mouth is at and it's wet, it continues to get progressively worse. And like, I remember like in shape. Hawaii, because like nowhere in Iowa really that I can think of uses paper straws.
You know what I think is weird? This is like a side tangent, but like Starbucks has those sippy cup lids now that like for refreshers and stuff. I think it's kind of weird when people like ask for straws.
We've talked about this before.
With those sippy cups. On the podcast?
I think so.
I'm always just like, it's not that hard to drink from the sippy cup.
That's my thought too. I honestly, I like the sippy cup thing.
Me too.
Anyways, some people are just straw people.
And we don't know people's abilities. Sometimes straws are necessary. So. Yeah.
In Hawaii, when we went I actually don't remember having any issues with paper straws last time we went, because I really don't feel like we had them.
Yeah, anyways, I don't remember.
Because Hawaii is so, like, conscientious of
the environment.
When we went to Oahu with Maggie 2 years ago, I remember getting Starbucks multiple times on that trip. And that was when we were getting Frappuccinos still. Which was like already kind of hard enough.
Person now.
Which was already like hard enough to drink out of a paper straw.
Oh my
god! But I was just like, oh my god! I
did a flashback.
I'm so sick of using this paper straw, plastic straw.
Completely unrelated. But a couple months ago, Megan and I went to Zombie Burger and got milkshakes, and it had a straw, obviously. And that milkshake was so thick that my mouth and my cheeks,
a normal straw,
were getting sore, creating a vacuum trying to get that milkshake into my mouth. And so that just reminded me of that. I had to share.
I personally, like, I don't think paper straws are the solution. I don't like them. I don't like using them. Yeah.
Like, at that point, just give everyone a metal straw. It's going to be more expensive for you, but I don't know how else to, like, a paper straw just isn't going to work. Okay. I have another football one. Someone said, American football's popularity has less to do with the quality of the game than the fact that the championship can have a party planned around it. I believe baseball would never have been rivaled as America's favorite sport if everyone could plan well in advance to be at the party on one set day for its final championship game.
Do you think baseball would still be the leading American sport?
Yes.
I feel like the Super Bowl, while it is a big day, like that does not explain just the entire popularity football.
And like, I get what they're saying that for like, alone, the World Series. But then you could argue like the World Series is up to 7 final games and like there's a party every time.
I definitely think with sports like basketball and baseball, like they are losing their allure with how many games that they play. Like,
remember,
it's ridiculous.
Because I don't watch basketball, especially like NBA basketball. And I specifically remember I was like, the championship thing is still going on. Like, I'll talk to you because you know a little bit more. I think you're more in the loop with that than I am. And I'm like, it's still going on. And I had no interest
I think that if they want to increase, like, fan base, they have to, like, decrease the number of games they play. Because, like, the supply is going up, demand is going down. They need to decrease supply, increase the demand, and That was the wall.
Yeah, I don't think that, like, the fact that, like, no one is watching football all season long for the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And also, like, doesn't explain, like, college football is insanely popular. Yeah, you could argue, like, the championship game is, like, the same kind of thing. But, like, most sports, aside from baseball and basketball, have, like, this is the big game. Like, this is the final one. That's actually why soccer has, like, the same type of deal, right? Where it's, like, multiple games, like, you know, three wins or whatever.
I don't know.
But then you could argue, like, isn't soccer, like, the most popular sport in the world? And they're doing the same thing that you're complaining about. So, I think football is popular because it's a good game.
It's my favorite football thing to watch. Okay. Dating apps are incredible. This is their unpopular opinion.
And boy, is it unpopular.
Okay. Dating apps are great. First off, they're super fun and incredibly efficient. Want someone over 6 feet? Easy. Need to find someone within 15 miles? Yeah, pay for that. No problem. First of all, yeah. I'm not paying for that.
The second I start paying for my dating life, you need to cut me loose or something.
You get to meet all kinds of different people who you've already pre-vetted and see if you click. How is that a problem? When I was single, I had the opportunity to go on some great dates and meet wonderful people on several different apps, including my now wife. I'm also going to a destination wedding later this year for a couple that met via Hinge, and many, many of my friends have met their partners online without issues. Frankly, I would have never met my wife had I not found her there, and while there are issues like creeps, etc., that's something that you can run into in real life, and you can filter out those people pretty quickly. For people I've talked to who aren't getting matches, they either tend to live in an area with not enough density slash haven't set their search parameters wide enough, have terrible pictures, or more commonly, they're abusing the algorithm and getting downgraded in results, like swiping right on everyone. Or they just suck at talking to people. Anyways, that's basically the gist of their...
I understand, like, the idea...
Here's the thing. I think, in theory, dating apps are great. But, like, at the end of the day, the point of the dating app and why everyone kind of, like, has, like, a negative connotation towards them is, like, you're trying to meet your person if you're taking dating seriously. I guess people use it for different reasons. But, like, therefore, until you meet your said person, which this person has...
Then they're not having a good time.
Then it's not really working out as you intended it to. Because I agree. I like that you can pre-vet people with things that are important to you. And you have, like, if someone fills out their profile nicely, I'm just like, I have all of the, like, important bits and pieces of information to kind of at least, like, have an idea.
Like, should you or should you not go on a date?
Right. With this person. If you're meeting someone in real life, like, you aren't doing that. You have no idea until you actually, like, discuss that with them. So I do like that. I agree with that. I also feel like it's obviously less nerve-wracking to just, like, be online on a dating app and mutually kind of agree, like, oh, we both find each other attractive. That takes away, like, the awkward cold approach that doesn't really seem like it happens anymore. But I still kind of disagree with
I feel like it's also them. Just like people who are on dating apps are also, like, you know, potentially also dating in real life. And so maybe it's just, like, the negative, like, dating in general sucks.
Yeah.
And it gets pushed onto dating apps, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Red receipts should always be on. And if they are not on, you're actively choosing to communicate worse. We need to level up our communication game. And our phone text messaging service gives us an easy option for it. Why do I keep mine on for everyone? I want people to see I read their messages. Even if I'm unable to respond in the exact moment I have seen it, I'm considering it and I will respond when I can. I don't need to write a got it or okay or any such thing, though I often do. I also always respond to texts as soon as I can. I don't have an inbox with hundreds of unread texts. Always have 0-1 unread texts. I love when people have theirs on too and I can see when someone has read my text. The fact everyone would be anxious that someone read but didn't respond to their text in a time they deem reasonable as a self-esteem issue that they should deal with. It's not on the receiver to respond in the time the sender thinks is necessary. And they have more stuff, but
they're a little bit more passionate about this than I am, but, like, I am fully on the same page with them. In terms of, like,
I think I only have my red receipts on for select people.
Really?
I think so.
I got mine on for everyone. I wish everyone that I was texting had them on. I wish in groups you could see who freaking read messages.
Now I don't know, like, who I do or don't have it on for. I have it on for, like, most people that I text regularly.
I just like knowing when people have read and seen the message that I've sent.
don't know. I feel like sometimes I just get like scared that I'm gonna like open it when I didn't need to, and like
if anything,
I didn't
you plan can just, on responding like, for a while. Swipe it and say unread, or like leave, like turn notification back on,
like to remember it. But I'm saying like, what if I meant to like wait? Because I am someone who likes to respond. Like if they know I've read it, I want to like respond.
On. Let's test it out. It would go back to saying not read, wouldn't it?
On your phone,
it would not change on yours.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's just like give you the notification.
We'll find out. I texted Sierra.
Live for you guys right now.
She'll open it.
Okay.
I obviously, like, I'm in the method, so I see that you read it. But so then you go.
Want me to say?
Go and unread it.
How do I do that?
Like, you go back to the message page and then swipe.
Okay.
It still says read.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, I don't really care if people know that I read the message. And sometimes, guess what? I did read it and I did forget to respond. That happens often enough when I'm at work. So then someone at least knows I read it. Maybe they're waiting for a response.
Then they exclamation then point they can, or question mark it. Because they're like, hello.
Because at that point, like, they know that, like, you read it. So I feel like it's appropriate.
I feel like then I get the idea that people would, like, then get annoyed that I saw and didn't respond. So I like them to just not know that I've seen it.
Hmm. I disagree.
Because I feel like I can get annoyed when I'm like, you read it, respond. And so then I project that, and that's how people would interpret me.
Well, sometimes.
But like for you, I would be annoyed if you didn't have it on for me. Because like you and I'm like, what are you doing? And there's like, again, close friends and family. I'm like, hello, did you read it? Like, I want to know. But like more like work stuff or like people that I don't regularly communicate with. I'm like, just say delivered. I'll respond when I can.
I like, don't care that much about that, but I also like I've never gone and changed it for different people. Do you have to like then like you change it specifically for different people?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I haven't had to change it in a while because I haven't like texted anyone.
You started working and you're like, okay, we're all these.
Well, people. To be fair, most of the work stuff I was on like GroupMe or something.
Or what's here's that? My last one. Didn't our first dates suck? To be honest, I don't feel like reading their whole like spiel, so we can just go off.
I have gone on a dinner first date, and it is just like a little bit more than I want.
I wish I could think of like what the perfect ideal first date would be, because like I feel like on a dinner first date, you don't really like you can get to know just about anyone. Like when you're going to dinner, like you're just meeting them and trying to get to know someone.
Yeah.
But there's no usually like you'd have no idea if there's any chemistry there at all. Because you're just like eating food and like talking. So I'm like, there needs to be some sort of like better activity where you can like interact a little bit more. But I don't know what that good activity would be.
I always like if you're going to do food, like an ice cream first date is like so simple. And like you can like go for like a walk if you like are getting ice cream typically. Like if you know like there's this little ice cream shop, we can get our ice cream and like walk around a little bit. Ice cream's not pretty bad. Low maintenance as long as it's not like melting all over you. But yeah, like a dinner date is fine. It's just like, oh, like you're eating and then you're and like trying to talk.
Like it because like it's kind of like it shows intention of like wanting to like being willing to like spend the time and money it takes to go on a dinner date. But like
if you're going on dates often enough, that's gonna be expensive.
I know.
I mean, I'm not paying, so so you know, it's up to you, but
like I could see why a guy wouldn't. Yeah. Want to do that every time. He's like, oh my god, I'm just trying to meet people. I can't be spending $30 or
budget
what have
his
you.
Dating life. Okay. This is my last one I'm going to share. Stop being polite and letting me cross first. I walk a lot and enjoy bike rides. My least favorite encounter is always someone who looks like they are in a hurry, overshoot the white line at the stop, and then suddenly notice me and wave me to cross. In no way do I want to cross in front of your car. Nope. And then insisting you cross by waving is usually not that helpful. I will cross when I feel safe, and maybe I want to look around the corner for a second. I'm not in a hurry. Plus, when you are the only car, it would be so much faster for us both if they just blow through quickly like they originally planned. I'm team. Like, I understand pedestrians have the right of way, and if you're a pedestrian and you're crossing well in advance of when a car is coming, then like, yeah, go for it.
If the car gets there first.
You know what's weird? I take Vegas on a walk regularly. I'm walking down, like, our... like the street coming up to our street, like, you know, the path that I take. And I'm coming like up around a corner where it's like, there is a street here that I could cross, but I always turn right to go down the sidewalk to get towards our house. And I'm not kidding you. I'm like coming up to the corner, not indicating which direction I'm going at all. I'm just walking. And a car is coming and like legit stops like 20 feet short of where I would maybe cross the street. And then I'm turning the corner because that's not where I'm going. And then I start going again.
They were really just, they wanted to
I'm just like, safe. What are you doing? Just go.
Yeah. I feel like it should be like a four-way stop. If the car is there first, I'm not at the intersection yet to cross the street. Like, you go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not
going. Like 9 times out of 10, you're the car. You're going to go faster than I am anyways. Mm-hmm. I could start crossing the street and you can blow right past. I'm not even going to run into you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's all I had.
That's all I had as well. Well, hopefully you guys enjoyed. Let us know if you had any differing opinions for this unpopular opinions episode. We're going to try and get better on our Instagram again. We're back on our Instagram grind. We're
working on it.
So you can hopefully surprisingly, comment.
Those like couple posts a week take it out of you.
Yeah.
You'd be shocked.
So if there is an episode post for this podcast episode,
you should go
then you comment. Can comment on that one, your thoughts. If you are watching on YouTube, please subscribe if you haven't already. Leave it. You can leave a comment on here too if you want.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we will talk to you guys next Thursday. Bye.